Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we who have heard your gospel that's for us, we who have received your Holy Spirit and been filled with your presence, we who have received all the benefits of the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation that we have with our Father through Jesus Christ, we come to you longing to hear from you, longing to receive the blessings that you have for us through your word. So we pray that you would give us ears to hear this morning, that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit. Pray that you would work through my words, as feeble and as limited as they are, that your Spirit might be carried upon them to touch our hearts for the praise of your glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at the call of Ezekiel to explore how God calls each one of us to a life of mission, a life of evangelism. That each one of us has received the call, as I just prayed, has been on my heart, that we've been the recipients of grace. We've been the recipients of God's glory that he's poured out to us in Christ through the Spirit. And he fills us in order to send us out. He calls each one of us to be his ambassadors in this world, that he might make his appeal to the world through us, that he might bless the world through us, that we are saved in order to be sent. Last week, the call of Ezekiel showed us how that call to evangelism for each one of us starts with an encounter with God, an infilling of his Spirit. It requires us to feast on the Word of God and to let it form us and shape us. And then God tells us in advance, here's what you're going into, a rebellious world that will probably reject you at times, and equipping us and preparing us for that reality. So God calls us to himself, calls us then out into the world to be about his mission, his purposes, the work of evangelism and blessing. We are saved in order to be sent. That was the main point of last week's sermon. This week, we want to look at the Lord Jesus and how he calls his disciples and sends them out into the world, how he calls us and sends us out into the world, not just that he calls us, but how he calls us and how he sends us into the world. So we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 6. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me. And the points here I'm going to go through are that Jesus calls us and then sends us out, firstly, in community, secondly, with authority, and thirdly, in faith. And praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who inspired the written word of God to be exegeted in a perfect three-point sermon. Thank you, Lord, for that. First, Jesus sends us out in community. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. Jesus does not send us out into the world on our own. He does not ask us to go out into the world as lone rangers. He sends out the 12 here in six groups of two. And we might think, well, Jesus, you could have doubled your reach here by sending them out individually. You could have hit up 12 towns and villages rather than just six. You got to think about your scalability here, Jesus, and extending your reach. You know, that's what we might think. But Jesus sends us out in teams, in pairs, in community. A couple of reasons for this. First, I think Jesus is actually trying to meet the Old Testament principle that where something is established as true if testimony is given by two or more witnesses. This is in Deuteronomy 17. It's in Numbers 35. The common expectation is that if something is true and needs testimony, you need more than one witness. So Jesus is sending his disciples out into the world to testify about him, to testify about the kingdom of God, to give a true witness. And those who know the law of Moses and the towns that they're going to, they're more likely to take them seriously if there's two of them testifying to the truth. They're not able to just say, well, that's one crackpot, and we don't have to listen to him. But if there are two of them, well, maybe there's something here worth listening to. So there's an Old Testament principle that Jesus is meeting here. But also, we can learn from this that mission is meant to be done in community. I think there's a broader principle that Jesus is drawing us into, that he sends us out as a community to be about his mission, the community that he's given to us here for companionship, for mutual support, for encouragement, for accountability, for complementarity of gifts. Jesus gives us this community as he sends us out into the world. And the community is for the sake of the mission, because mission is meant to be done in community. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian or the idea of a solo evangelist going out and doing it all him or herself. Mission is the work of the church, going out into the world to proclaim Jesus and call people to repentance as a community. So when we're on Jesus' mission, we go out as a community so that we can invite people in to the community that Jesus has made out of us. We are called here a community of disciples on mission. It means that we're going out into the world so that we can invite people in to what Jesus is doing in us. We go seek people out and then we say, come and see what God has done in us. Come and see what he is building in us. Come and see the lives that are being transformed in us and the abundant life that he has for us in community. Come and see. This is what the church is for in the world. This is why Jesus hasn't just come back and scooped us all up and taken us up to heaven. He's got work for us to do here. The church is for the life of the world as Jesus works through us to bless the world. Archbishop William Temple said that the church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of non-members. The only institution that exists for the benefit of non-members. And if that's not a definition of the church to hold on to, then nothing is. It's incumbent for us as a church, to be a community that's ready to welcome others at all times, to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, Romans 15 says. It's incumbent for us to be a place that is always ready to receive, always a place that's appealing for others as a place to belong. If we here are a community of infighting and suspicion and hostility, what's the world going to see when they look at us? What are people going to experience when they come to us? Are they going to find Jesus here? Are they going to see a community that's built on the character of Jesus Christ? Are they going to find transformation in a community like that? But if we are a community of hospitality, of joy, of mutual love and care, a place where we belong to one another as we belong to Christ, then that is a community through which Jesus can work to change lives. That we can invite people in to say, come and see what Christ has done in us. So Jesus sends us out in community, because mission is the work of the church in this world. And Jesus gives us this community in order to send us out as a community. Secondly, Jesus sends us out with authority. The second half of verse 7 says that Jesus gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So we, as the ones who are sent out into the world, are sent out with the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus, we remember, that is his to save sinners and to bless sinners. That's what Jesus' authority is for in this world. His authority that's over evil spirits to cast them out and bring freedom to the oppressed. This is a spiritual authority that we have been imbued with. And it's rooted in Jesus, not in us. It's not dependent on any person. It's not dependent on the charisma or personality of any one person. The authority that we bear into the world is dependent on Jesus Christ, who gives us that authority. Jesus, before he gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go." Jesus has all authority, and he gives us that authority. He shares it with us, delegating it to us as he sends us out. And so Jesus never sends his people out into the world without giving them a measure of his authority. His authority to bless, to save, to serve. Because we remember, it's not our authority with which we speak. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him, and we're speaking on behalf of his authority. And so we wield that authority in the world, in Jesus' name, and with his character, with his humility. He used his authority to serve, to wash feet, to bring freedom to the captives. The authority we have in Jesus' name is the authority to lay down our lives for the sake of others, to pick up our crosses and sacrifice ourselves. That's how Jesus uses his authority, and the way that we use his authority should reflect that, must reflect that. We're nothing but stewards of what he has given to us. I love in 1 Peter 4, this verse that says, "As each person has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." So when we speak, when we serve, we do it with the authority, with the confidence of Jesus, as ministers of his grace, as stewards of his grace in this world. Jesus has given us authority to steward well in this world, the authority that he has to save, to heal, to cast out demons, and to bless. The authority that he gives is over the unclean spirits, Mark says. And we need to know that as we are going out into the world, that the unclean spirits, or the demonic, is real in our world and active. Satan is active in the lives of people and systems and cultures and institutions, wreaking havoc. We see this all around us. And you think about even just the events of yesterday, President Trump, and the demonic had to be involved in the life of that shooter. So, casting out demons for us is an essential part of the mission that Jesus calls us to. We should not shy away from that. And we should not be afraid of that. We don't need to go demon hunting around every corner. And there are some people, I think, who give a little too much weight into that. And everything is demonic and nothing is people's responsibility. But we need to be aware of the reality of the demonic in our world. We need to be mindful of praying for the authority of Jesus to come to bear in situations and in people to cast out the work of the devil and his demons. Because the authority of Jesus goes where his faithful people go. He has called us to heal, to be instruments of his healing power in the world through the authority of Jesus. We pray for people to receive the healing of Jesus. And I want to encourage us to always pray for healing. Don't be shy or afraid to pray for Jesus to heal someone. I think sometimes we can get a bit embarrassed about this. We can get a bit shy to do it thinking, well, what if Jesus doesn't heal? Then it will be really awkward for me to have prayed that. as we're thinking about ourselves and as we're thinking about the embarrassment that might reflect upon us, rather than being instruments of what Jesus wants to do in this world, that he has come to bring healing to the broken. He has come to mend what has been scarred by sin, to undo the works of the devil. Jesus wants to heal in this world, and he is the one who has authority over all of heaven and earth. And if that's true, we should never not pray for healing. We should always be quick to pray for Jesus' healing power to come into this world, leaving the results up to him, leaving the outcome of his will up to him. But we know that he has all authority. We know that his desire is to heal. So let's be quick to pray for healing, because these miracles and the exorcisms, they are signs of the authority that Jesus has in this world to save, to bless, to bring wholeness where there is brokenness. It's not actually about us. It's not about the drama that sometimes I think we can associate with these things. And all of us have probably seen and experienced maybe poor examples of charismatic gifts in churches and in ministries where people are going nuts praying, and it's very sensationalized when people pray for healing or for casting out the demonic, as if the authority of Jesus will be more powerful if we pray louder or if we shout or if we're more dramatic about it. We think that the authority of Jesus is going to move more or be empowered more. But you and I aren't good enough for that. We don't have that power to make Jesus act more. We don't have power to make Jesus more powerful. So let me just give a quick argument for simplicity over sensationalism. When we are out in the world, when we pray for healing, when we pray for casting out demons, we pray in the authority of Jesus' name and just pray simply. Ask for things in Jesus' name. Ask for his power to move. You don't need to be loud. You don't need to be dramatic. It's his power, not your passion, that does the work. So always be quick and feel free to pray simply in Jesus' name for acts of healing, for acts of casting out demons. Because we're not going to increase the power of Jesus through our passionate emotions. So Jesus gives us his authority, he sends us out with authority, and he doesn't send us without that. Thirdly, Jesus sends us in faith. Jesus is calling us, as he's sending us out, he's calling us to a deeper faith and a deeper dependence upon him as he sends us out. We read in verse 8 that Jesus charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not more than one tunic. Travel lightly, he's telling them. Don't carry around with you a lot of material things, lest you get too comfortable, lest you begin to rely upon yourself and your stuff and other material things more than the presence and the power of God. Jesus is saying, don't bring a lot of stuff so that you're forced to trust in me more. Commentator Kent Hughes said that the minimum of provisions was meant to call out the maximum of faith. I like that way of saying it. The minimum of provisions is calling out the maximum of faith. Jesus is calling us to a radical dependence upon him as he sends us out. That you're going to have to depend on God at every point of this mission. So don't be encumbered by the material things of this world, knowing that God will provide for his mission. God will provide for his people. We're called to a dependence upon him in material things and even dependence upon others for hospitality. Look at what Jesus says in verse 10. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. So you're going out with nothing. You're going out, no reservations at an Airbnb. You're going out waiting for the Lord to bring people to you to host you. And trusting that God's going to provide for you. And he says, when someone invites you in, stay there, which means don't go shopping around for a better place once your host invites you in. Someone more wealthy comes and says, I've got a lot more comfortable place for you. No, you stay there. Honor your host. And honor the provision that God has given to you. This is an invitation for us to step out of our ease, out of our comfort zones, into some risk. Because faith is a risk. And I wonder if maybe part of our ineffectiveness in evangelism might be due to the dependence we have upon ourselves, upon our material things. And maybe Jesus isn't telling us to go about in poverty just like this, but I think he is pointing toward a principle of radical dependence upon him that's expressed here through simplicity. Jesus is calling here for a minimalism, a simplicity of heart in life. It's not the end in and of itself, but it's a means for greater dependence upon God and a focus on his mission. So Jesus is calling to this simplicity as a means to the end of deeper faith, as a means to the end of a single-minded focus on what he's called us to. Because we're not to trust in our own equipping, we're not to trust in our own stuff, but to trust in Jesus and his provision for us at every step. So faith is equipping us, and faith is calling us to that radical dependence. But faith is also equipping and preparing us for when we are rejected. As Jesus said in verse 11, there's going to be places that don't receive you. And if any place doesn't receive you, they won't listen to you. When you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. Now, the context of this that people would have known is that when Jewish merchants or travelers would go into other lands, Gentile territories, and they would leave those pagan areas and come back into Israel, they would shake the dust off their feet before coming back into Israel in order to remove any remainder of paganism that might be sticking to them, not pollute the Holy Land. It's a sign and it's a symbol of, I'm going back into God's holy land, and let nothing of paganism pollute me or my clothes or my body as I go into God's holy land. So that's the context that people would have been aware of in the culture. And Jesus is sending them into Jewish towns and villages and saying, when you are rejected there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And that would have been quite shocking to the Jewish listeners. It would have been quite shocking to the Jewish villages when they gave that symbol of, you are as pagans. God has rejected you as you have rejected him, because Jesus is expanding the boundaries of the kingdom of God. It's no longer geographical or ethnic, but the kingdom of God is growing throughout the world through faith in Jesus, through receiving the gospel. So shake the dust off your feet as a sign of judgment, a testimony that you are like the pagans. That's hopefully going to shake people up and call them to repentance, make them realize that maybe they aren't as secure in the favor of God as they thought. So even when people reject us, there's a call to repentance that we still give. I think that's what I take from this, that we can take from this. That Jesus is telling us to shake the dust off our feet as a sign to people, repent and turn around and come to God. So let me suggest that maybe if you're in a conversation with someone that's not going very well, that you've given every effort into trying to share the good news, to persuade, to say, here's what this faith is about, and it's just being rejected again and again and again, I think this is Jesus' blessing to simply end the conversation and say, we're going to pray for them to repent and change their mind on this. To say, you're in God's hands now. I've done my part. Repent and change your mind. Because again, we're not responsible for how other people respond. We're responsible for our faithfulness, our obedience to Jesus. We can't be responsible for how other people respond. And this does not give us license to be jerks. It does not give us license to condemn people or to judge them. Because when you call people to repentance, that's a blessing. You're actually asking for God to bless them by giving them that gift of repentance. You're asking for them to make the choice that's going to turn their life in a positive direction. Repentance is not condemnation. We do not condemn people, but we do call people to repentance. So we're not trying to be, we're not allowed to be jerks. We're not allowed to condemn people or judge people. But this shaking the dust off your feet, I think, is for Jesus. It's freeing us from the crushing burden of needing to be successful, because it's about us, as we might think. It's not about us. We are called to be faithful, and other people's responses are between them and God. And when they reject us, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Jesus. So Jesus is sending us out and equipping us with faith for the mission that he sends us out to, and drawing us into deeper faith as he sends us. The faith that is required for radical dependence on Jesus as we go, and to confidently trust in him even when we're rejected. So do we trust Jesus enough to provide for his mission? Do we trust that he is enough for us? Do we have faith that he's sending us in community and with his authority for the sake of the world? And the mission that he sends us out to, here's the message, here's the content. Verses 12 and 13 say, they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out demons and brought healing to people. That's the content of the mission. That is the message that Jesus is sending us out to do. And this is all that Jesus did, right? In his earthly ministry. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He called people to repentance, cast out demons, and brought healing. That's what the ministry of Jesus looked like for those 3 years as he led the way to the cross. So as he sends us out into the world, our mission is a continuation, an extension of the ministry of Jesus. That's all we're doing. It's not our mission, it's his mission. And as he sends us, he's going to provide for us, equipping us in community and with his authority, and with the faith to see mountains move in his name. This is our call. This is what we were saved for. To go out into the world, to bless the world, for the life of the world that Jesus is calling to himself. And the Lord has called us here at St. Andrew's to glorify Jesus Christ as a community of disciples on mission. He has made us a community of disciples in order to be on mission as a community of disciples. And all of it will be for his glory and for the life of the world. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your call. Thank you for saving us in order to send us. And thank you that even as you send us in your love. And you send us in the confidence that we don't earn more of your favor by the more people we talk about Jesus to. We don't earn more salvation by being more faithful in evangelism. But Lord, it's a privilege for us to share the good news of what you've done in us and what you want to do in the world. And let it be a joy for us to go out into the world, to respond to your call as an offering of worship unto you for the praise of your glory. You've given us life, an abundant life, and you call us out, send us out for the life of the world. So may we be found faithful, Lord. May it be our joy. May it be our delight. May it be something we continue to grow in and to cultivate in our community, to be sent out and to invite people in. We give you praise and honor and pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.